Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
51551 for your text. The biggest overhaul of the Defence Force's command and structure was brought to Cabinet today. And while in the planning stages for some time this, it comes as the force is engulfed in controversy relating to the number of serving members with criminal convictions or indeed facing the courts. For his reaction to the latest developments, I'm joined by Cathal Berry, independent TD for Kildare South and former head of the Army Rangers Wing in the Defence Forces of course. Cathal, you're very welcome to studio. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. What do you make of the plans to reform Ogilvy na Héireann?
Yeah, so look, very much long overdue. Most countries in the EU would have made these changes about 50 years ago. The Defence Force have been screaming for these amendments for years, and even the Commission of the Defence Force recognised them 2.5 years ago. So very much welcome them. It'll rebalance the three forces, land, sea and air, and it'll provide for a Chief of Defence as well with a direct line to the Minister. So on balance, very, very good if it's properly resourced.
What does that mean, properly resourced?
So the Commission of the Defence Force is very clear. We need about $2 billion in the defence budget by 4 years' time. Currently, the budget is $1.25 billion, so 1.25. So we have a lot of ground to make up. And unfortunately, the defence budget this year for 2024 was only increased by $40 million, 3.3%. So we need to front load this funding to get our resources up and running.
Okay, do you think there's a political will to do that?
Well, judging by the budget this year, probably not as much as it could be. I think the sentiment is there, but whether the action is going to be followed on, it'll be a job for the next government. Anyway, we've one budget left, and we've one opportunity to get it right in this Dáil, and then the next Dáil would take over.
Okay. Can I ask you about another matter? And I alluded to it in the intro there. The Taoiseach Simon Harris was told that the number of serving members of the Defence Forces with criminal convictions or those facing the courts was 68. Now, he has spoken, however, about his frustration in getting that information. Do you know as to why it wasn't immediately available to the government of the day, that information?
So no organisation has that information immediately available. So the Defence Force are unique in that it had the information. Even the Garda Commissioner was in Templemore yesterday, and he was asked by a journalist, when are you producing your list, Commissioner? And he said, well, we're actually finalising that at the moment. So the Defence Forces are unique, and one of the reasons why they're in the spotlight at the moment is they're the only organisation producing these statistics. So people are incorrectly extrapolating the fact that the Defence Forces are the only organisation where this problem exists, and we know that's not the case.
No, but I mean, the Ogilvy na Héireann had that information, didn't they?
Correct.
As you say. So why was a lower figure given initially to the government?
Well, we don't know what question was asked initially. Was the question for 2024? Okay. And then did they expand that to up to 2021, for instance?
Okay, so it could be the type of question. It's thought now, though, that the actual number of outstanding cases might be higher, isn't that right? Because the figure of 68 doesn't include those convicted of internal court-martial in connection with assaults on other enlisted personnel or officers. So could it be higher, do you think, based on your experience?
It could be, but I mean, if you look at the overall trend, though, we're still looking at less than 1% of the Defence Force. Like, I went to medical school, there was 350 people in my medical class, and I can tell you with certainty there's more than 1% of my medical school who's been in difficulty with the law. So this wouldn't be unusual. What is unusual is the stats are only being released for the Defence Forces. But if you look at other uniformed services or across the public services or say university campuses, if you did the same intrusive forensic examination on those organisations, mm-hmm. would the results be any different? Would it be higher? Would they be lower?
Yeah. Do you think this has been handled well by the Defence Forces?
So first of all, I don't think anybody was expecting the verdict last Thursday week, and it took me by surprise. I didn't even know the court case was going on. And because of the wonderful advocacy of Natasha O'Brien, mm-hmm. It was highlighted that it wasn't just a Defence Force issue, but a societal issue. And some people describe it as an epidemic, gender-based violence, but I think more accurately it's a pandemic. This is a global phenomenon, which is completely unacceptable, and organisations need to do more to stamp it out.
When the Taoiseach says there can be no hiding place in the Defence Forces, nor indeed, in my view, he says any place for anyone in the Defence Forces who's been convicted of domestic, sexual or gender-based violence, is he right? Do you agree with that?
So, first of all, I agree, but it shouldn't be unique to the Defence Forces. Again, this should be a public service standard, surely, if someone's on the public payroll. In relation to hiding in the Defence Force, I mean, that's a very inflammatory, emotive language, which is probably a little bit over the top, because the reason why there's a small number of people in the Defence Force that shouldn't be in the Defence Force is because of inadequate government regulation. So we've primary legislation that's voted through the Dáil, and we've secondary legislation, which is by the ministerial pen. So unfortunately, not only do the Defence Force not have the power to dismiss and suspend, it's explicitly stated in the statutory instrument that they must not suspend or dismiss until the case is heard in the civilian court.
So what would you say back to the Taoiseach then?
Very simply, just amend the legislation, amend the regulation. The people are talking about the Defence Force culture. There's a problem with the culture. I mean, I'm the living, breathing embodiment of the Defence Force culture. If you look at any of the interactions I have in Parliament, absolutely cooperative, courteous, constructive, same on social media. What people are misdiagnosing, it's not the problem with Defence Force culture. It's the problem with a small number of people who feel that the Defence Force culture doesn't apply to them, that the rules don't apply, that the values and standards don't apply, and we need better pathways to exit them from the organisation.
Is it not the Defence Force culture then that allows them to behave in that way?
No, not at all. This is a societal issue, and what is preventing the exiting of these small numbers of individuals is that government regulation is not up to standard, so it needs to be modernised.
So when the teacher says that about no hiding place, you're basically throwing it back at him and say, regulate better.
You could say yes, but I have a very good relationship with the Taoiseach, first of all. I would phrase it as though I'm advising him that there's an issue from a regulation point of view, which is a statutory instrument, and if that is modernised, then there's a much better pathway to exit people out of your organisation.
But the Taoiseach gave us, didn't he, gave everyone who in public who was listening a way of doing exactly what you say. He said last week that those involved in serious offences, particularly rape or serious assault, should immediately be taken out of service without prejudice, he says. I mean, should that be done?
Yes, and that is a brand new order from the Taoiseach, which as Minister for Defence, he's entitled to give. So that ruling and that instruction didn't exist a week ago, and it does as of 48 hours ago. So there's clarity there now. He used this term called local leave. Now, that's not the intended use of local leave. It's not a suspension, really. Local leave is something that's renewed every 24 hours, and most people have to apply for it. So strictly speaking, it's not a good pathway, but under the circumstances, it makes a small bit of sense.
Okay, so but maybe it goes to what he was saying in terms of the Taoiseach, that maybe there was a lack of proactive management in the army of these cases. Maybe it's not the intended use of local leave, but maybe the Taoiseach was pointing to a possible use of local leave. And if cases like this were managed proactively, maybe the army would use it in that way.
Yeah, so the army don't have the authority to use local leave in that way, but they do now because there's government direction. And it probably goes back to a point I raised early, that we really do need a Minister for Defence or a Junior Minister for Defence in Newbridge, where the headquarters is, every day, lifting up the bonnet, just like any CEO. You've got to be present. You've got to be saying, look, stop doing that. I want you to do this instead. But that's not happening. I mean, the structure of the political governance of the Defence Forces over the last decade in particular has been appalling. And these are the inevitable consequences.
Okay. Carl Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South and former head of the Army Regional Wing in the Defence Forces. Thank you very much indeed.